Welcome to One Moment Wiser. I'm your host, Christy Bridges, and my guests share personal stories and wisdom to help you understand yourself better, improve your relationships, and connect with your creator. Let's get started. Welcome to One Moment Wiser. This is Christy Bridges, and I am so happy today because last year we started a series of interviews with my friend Kelly Ellis. And then Kelly and I took time to pause everything and finish the 3 a.m. book, When Divorce Keeps You Up All Night, and the Surviving Divorce at 3 a.m. group study. And now we are back. Kelly has more wisdom to share with us today. And I tell you, every time I talk to her, I am energized and I feel like I have a little more of what I need to live better. So I imagine that you're going to feel that same way. Kelly, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You bet.
Now, Kelly, you and I were talking and you touched on something that's so... It's probably one of my primary things that I want to believe is true about life. I want to believe that people can love each other and stick it out till death do us part. I've seen it happen, not as often as I've seen divorces, but I have seen it happen. And in my own life, I've seen God do miracles when I was completely done, just out of love. I've seen what God can do with a willing heart when we just go, okay, fine, you can give it a try. I'll stick around and see what you do. And he just does. So you have something to talk about today. You have hope to bring people so we can keep believing that it really does work.
Well, I do. My story, my personal story is my husband was an alcoholic for 12 years and it was very difficult at times. But I continued praying, but I also started setting boundaries and I started doing things for myself and understood that I couldn't change him. That nothing I did, nothing I said, no amount of arguing, nothing could change. I couldn't change him. So as time went on, I mean, yes, I did it all wrong in the beginning. Like I fought, I begged, I pleaded. I felt like if he loved me, then he wouldn't do this. If he truly loved me, then this wouldn't be a part of his life. And even though I'm a counselor and even though I know that addiction is not a It is a choice in the beginning, but it is not a choice after a certain point. It becomes in the brain. The brain tells you you have to have it, and you can't think about anything outside of that. And that's sad, but that's how addiction kind of works. That's just like a little glimpse of it. But even though I knew that, when I was inside that marriage, in the hurt and in the pain, I couldn't. It didn't make sense to me to say, no, this that he's not choosing this behavior, that he's not choosing to drink, that he's not choosing to go to the store and buy liquor when he could just not go. Like, to me, it was so simple because I've never dealt with addiction. But for him, it wasn't that way. He was doing an internal struggle that he wasn't talking about, that he wasn't sharing, that he wasn't saying anything about. Distanced himself, being very depressed. And I couldn't help him. And no amount of arguing or complaining was going to help him. And he was also, you know, like struggling in his relationship with God too. So there was... That there was a huge barrier between us, and there was many nights that it didn't feel like I really was in love with him anymore. Although I knew he wasn't being who he wanted to be and wasn't being the man that he was called to be, wasn't being what he needed to be. I also understood or had to come to an understanding that this was out of my control. It was just out of my control. And so what I did was I told him it came to a point where I had to make a decision and if I was staying or if I was going.
Yeah.
And I was praying to God and God said, and God told me to get this book. And I was like, yeah. Okay, I'll get it. And then I got the book, but then it came in and I set it on the bookshelf and I just kept going.
Yeah.
About 3 months later, I was cleaning up after New Year's, cleaning up all the Christmas stuff. And I came across the book again and God just clearly spoke to me. When are you going to read this book?
Yeah,
I ain't gonna. And I was like, and then he was like, okay, really? And I was like, yeah, okay. So one night I was taking a hot bath because I like to take a hot bath and read. That's how I de-stress. And so I was taking a hot bath and reading the book. And I got the book and opened up to chapter one and I started reading it. And it said, if you think you're reading this book to change your husband, you need to put this book down because this book is going to change you. I took the book and I threw it across the room. Literally threw it across the room. I was so mad. And that night was the night that me and God kind of had it out. Because I was just very real with him. And I was like, I don't understand why I have to keep changing. I'm not the one with the problem.
Right.
This isn't fair to me. Why are you doing this? Why am I so bad that I'm the one that has to change? Are you telling me that I'm forcing him to drink? Like, this is my problem? And he quietly, still in his still voice, was like, you're the only one willing. And I have to work with a willing soul.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. So in order to save my marriage, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, even if I'm the only one working. And so I did. I started reading that book and I started doing what the book said. And it did take me some time. I was like, the first day is you don't say anything negative. That was a real hard thing for me.
Yeah.
But what I grew from doing that book is I learned how to love him unconditionally. The way Jesus loves me. I learned that in spite of how his was acting and his behavior, that I loved him unconditionally. Now, I'm not telling, and a lot of people will say, you can't stay in an, you know, I'm not proposing that you stay in an abusive relationship.
Not right.
I'm not proposing that, but I'm saying this is where I felt like God led me.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And I started praying for him and I started loving him unconditionally. And it was amazing because then by the time I got to day six, and I don't know exactly how many days it took me to get there because I would have to back up and start over. It would be hard for me not to say something negative. But by the time I got to day six, it was different.
Mm.
He was acting different. I was acting different. We're both, it was different. Now, had he stopped drinking? No, not altogether, but it was less and it was different. And then later, a little bit later on, I had to have the conversation with him. And I finally set him down and I said, I can't continue to watch you kill yourself. I can't do it. I love you. I want to. I can't. I said, so you have a decision to make. I know and I understand I can't control your choices. I can't tell you not to drink. I can't tell you how much to drink. I can't, none of that. I have no control.
Right.
But I get to control my choices based off your choices. And this is what I need. I need you to stop drinking. And he's like, give me a year. Like, you don't. I'm not going to tell you how long you have, because it'll be like it has been in the past, and you'll stop for a while, and I'll think everything is good, and I'll let my defenses down, and we'll get strong, and then you'll start back drinking little by little. I said, so you don't have to care. But you have plenty of time if you make the decision that you want to get help or you want to stop this on your own. You have plenty of time to do so.
Yeah.
But this is where I'm. I love you, but I cannot do it anymore. And he said, okay. And he was doing great. And he was starting to cut back on it. And he got to where he was only drinking on the weekend. And he was doing really good. But then he got really sick.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he had cirrhosis of the liver. Had to go into the hospital almost. You know, they were saying he had 6 months. Going to have a liver transplant. At one point, and God took us through this journey of, all I can say is miracles, 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 and restoration. Because not only was he healing his liver, but he was healing our marriage. And that's all I can say about that, is because, like, I did what God said. He told me to do 4 things for his liver, and I did those 4 things. He told me to read that book. I read the book. And, like, I just obeyed. And God restored everything that the devil tried to take from us. Now, are we fully and completely 100% restored right now, today? No, we just lost our RV in all the ice this week.
Yeah.
This past week. And so we were basically homeless, not technically, but my daughter, we're living with our daughter now. So are we completely restored? No. But our marriage is.
Yeah.
You know, our marriage is restored. And sometimes marriage gets hard. It's not easy.
It's not.
It's very difficult, and we go through struggle. And sometimes you don't even feel like you like the person that you're laying next to every night.
Sometimes.
You know, you just like, I don't even know who you are. Why are you asking this? Why'd you yell at me? Why'd you say these things? And I'm not saying I was always the perfect wife, because I wasn't. I mean, our marriage has been through so much. In the beginning, it was me going through healing from my trauma, from my traumatic past. And he had to put up with a lot that was unnecessary and was not kind to him. But he loved me through it.
Yeah.
He loved me through it. And then he started drinking and things because of life situations and whatnot. And I loved him through it.
Yeah.
And there were times where it didn't feel like he loved me or I loved him. But I held on to God promised this covenant, and it's still death to us apart. And I'm going to keep fighting until I know God has told me to quit.
Yes. So you've actually brought up a couple of things, and I want to let you continue, but I don't want to leave these behind, because there's super important, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Several things. Number one, what I'm getting from you is, yes, this is about a relationship with another human being, but this is not just about a relationship with another human being. This is about a heart that's dedicated to doing what God asks you to do, mm-hmm. no matter what. And sometimes that means you argue with God and you go, that book can sit on the shelf until you come back, you know, but you submitted to God after all,
mm-hmm.
did what he said. And even if your husband had never changed, you would have. And even if the situation never got better and you had to pack your bags or whatever, you would have been even closer to God. You would have developed even more of what he wanted to develop in you. And so you put that relationship with God first, and it has ended up doing amazing things in your life. And you were able to recognize when he said, hey, do these four things for your husband who has cirrhosis of the liver and 6 months to live, right? Mm-hmm. You were able to hear that, to notice that, to implement it, and actually save a life. So that's the key thing that I'm hearing from you, but I'm also hearing some things that in our society, women struggle with, and I assume men do too, but I know for a fact women struggle with this. How much do I allow, right? Do I settle for before the format? And number one, you know, it's better to choose well, but even if you choose well, and you did, yet, you know, when you were in high school and you guys got together, this guy was like a serious hero to you. I mean, you know, in your life. And, but even when you choose well, sometimes people end up going in a wrong direction. They let some little thing slip in because, oh, I'm a grown up now. And that little thing takes over their life. And so I chose someone who was already a drinker. And there were a lot of people who were like, you need to put your foot down. And, you know, you're just an enabler if you stick around. And basically what I heard was, if I didn't give an ultimatum and walk out the door, then I was the one at fault. And I had to... Personally, I had to deal with, well, how much am I going to allow, right? And then come to the realization that I wasn't the one in charge of that. Like you said, the addiction is its own, it's the master in those cases. But I learned what real boundaries were. My boundary is my response, right? So,
right.
I'm not going to pay for this, and you are still going to have to do your part. Therefore, you know, if you want to pay for that and the bills, that's great, you know, because it's like, okay, we had to find our boundaries, in our relationship. Now in my situation, you know, my husband still indulges. It's the way he's always lived. He doesn't every stop. Who knows what God can do, but in your situation, your husband had started down that direction, and you found by following God's instructions, you changed and he changed. And that's just beautiful to me. I have found, I mean, and I'm not complaining about my husband at all. Actually, because of being willing to let God do his thing. And I now we have so much love. Oh my gosh, we're just so grateful for each other. And so that to me just demonstrates that God can do spectacular things if we're just willing.
Yeah. So
you're actually, and I wasn't turning it back to me. I could just hear somebody out there going, well, how much do I put up with? And we each have to decide that, and sometimes we put up with it and we just keep putting up, but we find other ways to love. You know, we let God still grow us and teach us. And then sometimes we go, you know what, I can't watch this anymore. And I'm gonna have to live somewhere else so that I don't have to see you die. And then God goes, hey, by the way, she wasn't kidding. You're in a hospital now. You know, and
yeah, that was I said that in February, and he ended up in the hospital in July.
So you weren't just making stuff up. I think sometimes they think we're just being dramatic, right?
Now, I knew in my gut. I had asked him probably 2 years before that if he would, because we were getting in an argument about his drinking, and I was like, if you will go to the doctor, have a liver enzymes test done, and it comes back good, I won't say another word. because I just knew in my gut it wasn't going to. But he wouldn't listen, and I can't make decisions for him.
No. Sometimes we don't go to the doctor until it hurts. But he did. And even with the doctors going, well, it's too late now, say your goodbyes, you were still listening to God. And you still...
And I told that doctor that day, I said, that is the report of the doctor. That is not the report of my Lord.
Amen.
And he said, I've heard lots of Christians say that, and they all had liver transplants. And I said, well, Mike's not.
Yeah. Well, and most of the time, they won't give you a transplant if you're still drinking. That's just not going to happen.
No, you actually have to be 6 months alcohol-free, drug-free, alcohol-free, completely sober before they will even put you on a list. So,
and Kelly, do you have a copy of that book that you talked about handy? I've got a couple people already going, what is it? What is it? What is it?
It's actually Love Dare.
Yep. I've got a copy here, actually. I've never read, but I bought it because I saw somebody else go through a transformation with this book, and it's just sitting on my shelf. I guess I had to read it.
It just teaches you how to love.
Yep.
Unconditionally, like Jesus does. How to see. I think for me, what it did was it let me see that there's flaws, but I have flaws too. And he loves me in spite of my flaws, and I love him in spite of his. And to me, Love Dare gives, if there's only one person fighting for the relationship. Now they have a Love Dares couple, I think. But at that time, it was just if it was really one-sided.
Yeah. Well, and it does seem unfair that, you know, sometimes we're the only ones that feel like we're fighting to save our marriage, to save our relationship, to show our love. But sometimes what I've noticed is that when we work really hard to try to change someone, then we take on a different role. When we first got together, we were someone who every time they walked in the room, we were excited to be there. We were someone who waited for their phone call or their text or that night we were going to hang out or whatever. And we went from that and then building a life together, talking about our dreams together, to someone who was an adversary and basically a mother figure, or an authority figure, even though they were denying our authority. And it becomes an insecure, unsafe kind of feeling. And that's when they lie to us. That's when they do things behind our back. That's when they, passive aggressively counter our authority, because we don't really have authority, you know.
One of the things that we've since talked about and had discussion about is that because of how I responded to him early in our marriage when I was healing from trauma and stuff, he didn't feel like I was a safe person to come to and share vulnerability with. And that's really sad for me, because I had no idea that I was making him feel that way, or that I had made him feel that way. So if there was a time that your husband tried to come to you and you lashed out or ignored or pushed away or wasn't ready for the conversation or whatever, they file that away in the back of their mind. And eventually, if you do that enough, they're like, well, you're not safe to talk to, so I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah, they put up these little shields, and that doesn't mean we're bad. I mean, simply you could be a wonderful woman, and simply the process of growing as a person, right? Growing in confidence and skill and knowledge and wisdom. Just in that process, sometimes kind of trigger each other, right? To throw up little defenses until that defense is pretty solid. And in a long-term relationship, we're going to have to confront that once in a while and kind of get to know each other again and build that safety again. And I think the love dare does that a lot because there's so much of the unconditional giving and the there's so much that happens during the process of that book that you're really making them feel secure and safe again.
Right. Exactly. And something else is that lost my train of thought. I had it, but hold on. Is that we don't realize, like, we can have all the best intentions, but something that me and my husband has started doing is we started doing the official app. It's called Official. It's a marriage. It's a, well, okay, they don't necessarily have it as just marriage. I am. It's just marriage. app, but it's how to get to know someone better. And it talks about all the different things. It has sex and it has intimacy and it has dating and it has like everything.
Cool.
And ask you these little questions every single day. You have a daily question. And I have learned so much about him that I didn't know, because it'll have you, like, it'll give you little quizzes and it'll have you answer for your spouse what you think the answer is going to be, and then answer for yourself. And then he has to do the same thing, and he actually gets more right than I do.
That would be Richard.
So
he doesn't remember about himself, though, so neither of us knows that much about him.
But so he's actually paying attention and listening and understands what I need, what I like, you know, those things. He just wasn't very good at showing it.
Was that like a huge heart shifter for you when you realized he does notice me? He does actually see this. That, I think that so many women think, well, he doesn't care. He doesn't, just because we don't give him a chance to express that.
Well, and you know, men show love differently than women show love.
And it's very different.
Yeah, it doesn't. We don't always receive it. Yeah. Like if you think about the five love languages, you know, if they have a different love language than you, then you don't always receive and give love the same way.
Yeah.
And so it's reading, it's kind of learning how to read your partner a little different and see what their efforts actually are. Now, I'm not saying that some men are not, you know, they take for granted that women are supposed to do everything and then we're pressured and, you know, all these things. Yeah, that does happen sometimes. But usually, if you will get their attention, if something will get their attention, then it can be changed.
And I have a question. Okay, now I just have to say, we're not trying to sell any of these books or apps or whatever. We're just sharing resources. But you talked about the five love languages. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I hear a lot of people say that I think is wrong is that you can tell what someone's love language is by the how they express love.
No.
I think that's wrong, because I express love in different ways than my favorite ways to receive love sometimes. And I've noticed that about other people too. Whoops, I lost Kelly. Hopefully she'll be right back. So anyway, let's, while we're waiting for Kelly, I just want to share that God has, he has so much ability to just do amazing things when we're willing to let him and when we're willing to try goofy things. Remember the guy in the Old Testament, Naaman? He was a, you know, big official and had all this power, and the prophet Elijah told him to go bathe in the muddy Jordan River to get rid of his leprosy. And he was like, well, this is stupid. I could have gone to my own river back home and it's much prettier and nicer and, you know, whatever. But when his servant said, hey, Naaman, You're in charge of an army, and if you told one of your soldiers to do something, even if they thought it was stupid, you'd expect them to do it, right? It's like you came all this way for God to heal you of leprosy, something you can't do on your own. So shouldn't you do what God says to do? And he did and was clean. So sometimes when we're willing to do what God says to do, then we get improvements, we get changes, transformation that we didn't expect, that defies common wisdom. God's wisdom is sometimes a little creative, right? Here she comes. Let's see if it works this time. Ah, I can't see your pretty face. Let's try it one more time. Okay. Oh, there you are.
Okay.
So I was just saying, sometimes, you know, God gives us wisdom, and we have to try it, even if it sounds wacky, like I've already tried that, or it's not going to work, because his ways are just not our ways, but they work. That's all we have time for today. If you're enjoying this interview, please share it with your friends and join us next week as we continue. Meanwhile, join me for 2-minute daily devotional videos Monday through Friday at onemomentwiser.com. That's the digit 1, momentwiser.com, or on social media at onemomentwiser. God bless you.